Blog Talk Radio.
That being said, you know, that's all I can say on that note.
But before we get around the room, let's get my brother Darryl Harrington online. What's going on, big dog?
What's going on, my brothers? How's everybody doing tonight?
Good, good.
I'm good, man. Good, good, good. But by the time I think he got a cold, we talk behind the scenes, you know.
Yeah.
The cold steam catch up, man. What's going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
All that Indiana coldness. Sorry, just caught up to him.
Catching up to me, finally.
Oh, man. But actually, I mean, I'm trying to run away from a bug myself. You know, dealing with some interesting behind-the-scenes local issues within the city of Orange, always fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Doing some budget things and things of that nature, making career moves, doing some Shadow World stuff behind the scenes. So, yeah, brothers, it's been a very interesting week indeed.
Definitely, definitely. Listen, before we go any further, man, you know, as all the listeners know, our show is, you know, been basically held down by a group of men I call strong men. Brother Darryl, Brother Tom, Brother Eddie, he should be calling in shortly. Of course, my man, Brother Hassan, Black, Jesse Davis, just a host of people. Listen, that's not even include the people outside of just the men itself that support the show. But one of our very own, Brother Hassan Black, recently lost his brother. And our prayers and our condolences going out to his family. We want to tell you we love you. We want to uphold you and keep you up there, brother. And we pray for the, you know, your family in a time of need. You know, so big shout out to our brother Hassan. You know, we love you, man. And we got you back. Those that know Haas, tomorrow the film range will be in Orange. You know, reach us behind the scenes if you want to send your condolences or you just want to send something on Facebook. You know, just. And they say, hey, look, we're praying for you. So, once again, big shout-out to Hassan and his family, man. Definitely.
Amen.
Definitely, definitely. So, guys, listen, man, you know, let's spin it around the room. You know, Tom, you're a busy person, man. Ever since the new convention you got going on, man, you are nonstop. Hold on, let me just make sure I bring in my brother Eddie. I think he just called. Damn, you got... Let me just make sure we got it before we spin it around. I think we got Brother Edward L. Farrelly online now.
Yo, what up, fellas?
Hey, Eddie. What's going on, brother? How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm working with maybe 2% of a battery. I still got errands to run. I probably won't be on this show too long today, but I wanted to say something. Yeah,
I got you.
Out here moving and grinding, man. This the whole... The camera crew and everything for the documentary series for Discovery Channel will be here tomorrow. So I'm tightening a whole bunch of stuff up. I had to go get a camera and everything because one of the stipulations behind me doing it was I'm allowed to have my own camera running. You know how people try to edit your words and have your stuff coming out of context?
Mm-hmm.
So I have my own camera rolling while their camera's rolling so that if they do edit my stuff and play it out of context, I have the master copy and I'll replay the real play. The stuff that I'm taking care of right now. So yeah.
Okay. Well, just real quick, brother Eddie. I know you're really busy. We was going around the room real quick. Just if you didn't know, I was going to bring you up to speed. Brother Hassan lost his blood brother. Last Saturday. Yeah, so man, you know, we all been busy, but I didn't have a chance, and I just had an opportunity today to kind of, you know, give him a call. What's going on, brother? What's going on? He told me, you know, he had a heavy heart, so you know, I just want to make sure you up to speed on this. We sent our condolences and prayers to him and his family. He's taking it hard because his family is one of the type of families they're very close, especially the brothers and that family. They're very close, so. Our prayers once again, brother. You know, it was going out to him, but I had to let you know because you're part of the brotherhood, man. We got to make sure all our brothers know what's going on. So,
we wanted
to say something to him, man. Definitely, man. Tom is sick. Darryl's fighting off a cold. You got Disney at your house. you know. Yeah, hey, listen, are they gonna let you go to Disney for free? Because that's pretty damn expensive. I know that's right. But listen, Eddie, I know you're short on time, but, you know, because, you know, I want to spin it around the room. You want to let the listeners know what you got going on, what you've been done this week, because I want to definitely get back with Tom, because Tom has some interesting stuff I want to ask him about. But I know you had 2% on your phone, and we want to make sure the listeners know what's going on.
Yeah, I just heard it beep in my ear, man. I tried to charge it, but I've been ripping and running. People buying books, I'm delivering books and picking up stuff, picking up pictures and all kinds of stuff. It's just been a really, really busy day.
Yeah.
You say what now?
Yes, sir.
No, I don't know what you're
doing. Oh,
yeah. Bad man, everybody else fairly. But you got 1%. No.
Yeah.
That was that 1% thing.
But that's pretty much it, man. It's a long week coming up for me. I know the boys that I mentor, we're taking them skating into the movies and stuff by the end of next week. But tomorrow's busy. My sister's birthday is tomorrow as well, so we'll be celebrating with her. It's just a long weekend, up and coming weekend. So that's it.
All right.
Okay.
Great stuff, brother. Great stuff. You know, listen, you know, those who don't understand, you know, we got some great shows coming up in the 2014. You know, Eddie doesn't know, but one of our shows, we're going to talk behind the scenes, is actually going to be called Increase Your Relationship IQ. It's going to be Brother Edward L. Fairley. He's going to run with it, and he's going to give to you the best way he knows how. You know, when we're coming up to the programming of the shows for 2014, we just thought it was an appropriate and one of the great topics that Eddie can talk about as far as the book and just give you, you know, if you may not agree, but he gives you a way of looking at it from an analytical point. He gives you another perspective. It makes it thought-provoking to make you, you may not agree, but you damn sure will be thought-provoked when Eddie starts talking about, you know, the book and different ways and how to approach a relationship. So, you know, I'm excited about that show, and, you know, if people buy the damn book, real talk.
I'll tell you one thing, man. I keep giving little samples of the different cards and stuff for the Increasing Your Relationship IQ board game. That's almost done, and that game is bananas. Like, I'm gonna have people flying in and everything to play the game before I launch it. But that game, I'm really excited about that. 2014 is a really exciting year for me, period. But that board game is that's my baby right there, and that's a real in-your-face game. And I remember Sig was talking about, I can't wait to play it, and we got to play it with the Shadow War, the World family, because I can imagine the responses and stuff that they'll be having when it comes to these cards.
Man, you would get us in trouble.
The revolution will not be televised. That's all I'm going to
say. My dog is sitting there trying to lick me as he talk about the relationship IQ right now. I'm like, sit down. I'm not trying to increase the relationship with you right now, player. big ass pit bull. Like, you know, come on. Stop playing. Lay down, man. When I say relationship, you want to lick me. Hey, don't judge me. No, but for real, listen, now, we're very proud of what Brother Eddie is doing. And a lot of things that he's doing. But I want to make sure we acknowledge him, because without brother like Eddie, we would not have the Man Up Talk Show. That's just, I don't always say it,
man.
But I have to acknowledge it, man. You know, I really do, because Eddie's been there from the beginning. You know, behind the scenes, I mean, it just festered and built and became bigger than what we thought it was going to be, and the vision and the movements got very big, and I'm just very proud and honored to be a part of a great group of guys, you know. But I had to acknowledge Brother Eddie first, you know.
Thank you, man. I appreciate y'all.
But I do. Without the man up, without Eddie, it would be no man of the show, because Eddie gives you that distinctive personality on this show that nobody can replicate. And even though Brother Eddie, there's people out there trying to replicate our show. They're trying, but you know what? There's nobody in the planet like an Edward L. Fairley, because you know what?
Tell it like it is.
Talk to him. He'll say some things, you know, on one end, you'll be like, I love you. The other end, like, what the hell did he just say? But, you know, we have a good time. We have a good time, and I'm very honored, man. I have to say that. And I know Sister Sig is online, and I want to make sure I properly acknowledge people because, you know, I feel very grateful and humble today, and I want to acknowledge Sister Sig, Signature Black. She's been supporting through Eddie. You know, we had the opportunity to meet a great woman that's been supporting us, and she's also been promoting the brand and also promoting the different things we did. She believes in the vision. And, you know, it's just, you know, to be around people that believe in the same vision and share your vision, it just makes me very humbled and it makes me want to do more. So, you know, when you have people that support you, you support them back, it's a beautiful thing because God is good. So, you know, I have to acknowledge, you know, specific. You love her very much, definitely.
Oh, yeah, I love her to death.
Absolutely.
That's my girl.
Definitely. And no doubt, definitely. But we're going to spin around the room, Eddie. You can hang on to your 1% cut off or you want to charge your phone.
I'm
or
trying. I'm staying until it dies.
You know, so, listen. You know, Tom, listen, I want to spin around to Tom. Tom, I seen something on Facebook that you had. Now, did you have a conference or something? And Bobby Brown was there? And what was going on? Let the listeners know.
So, last night, I'm on the board of an organization called the Montclair Fund for Educational Excellence. And last night we had a fundraiser it was Makeup in a Movie. We showed the movie, Bury My Ashes That Burned Off. And there were about 200 women that showed up. And, you know, we had cocktails. They gave, Bobby Brown gave, had her whole studio do free makeup consultation, and then she gave a nice little talk to, you know, Q&A with Bobby Brown after the movie. So that's what last night was. Me, three other guys, and 200 women.
Nice. Nice. Nice.
That's more of a damn. Not at all.
No, I felt a Hallmark moment coming.
It's a moment coming, but I don't know Hallmark would be the sponsor of that moment. Exactly. That's my life. That's my dog. That's what I said.
Oh, hold it down, baby. Let mama have him.
That's it. No, we're talking. Damn it, it's Friday night.
You know. let's Tom, what up? let's get to the subject matter, Brother Dow. Bring the listeners into what the subject and topic is all about.
I'm still trying to get over. Yeah, never mind. Now let me just go to the topic. All right, here we go. All right, tonight's topic is, are we ready yet? We go through things, or things happen in the course of our lives, in the course of our days, that just don't happen. The opportunities are presented to us, but are we ready to meet the challenges of those opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
Without preparation, you do not have success. You just don't arbitrarily just walk into something without being ready for the challenge. And then life has its own challenges all unto its own, in which, you know, that story of you're working, do you work just to survive day to day, or are you putting something away for a rainy day? Are you ready for that rainy day when it comes? Are you ready for retirement? Are you ready for when your children go to college? Are you, you know, are you ready if, you know, God forbid, you know, you lose your job, but, you know, until the unemployment better get there, you know, you better have a plan or something, or, you know, you're going to be licking your fingers and that's just about it. You know, we have to be prepared for whatever comes our way, whether it be positive or negative. So the topic of tonight's show is, Are we ready yet? Are we ready for the challenges that life presents us, both positively and the negative ones as well? So let's get this party started. Let's kick it around the room.
Let me chime in on this one, brother. Before Eddie just got back on, let me just chime in real quick. I think he lost his phone again. His phone just dropped again. According to the board.
Hey, I'm still here.
Okay.
Tom's here.
Tom's here because, you know, if Tom's not here, you're going to hear Sig. So you can let him have it. Like, you know, where's Tom at now? Where's Tom, damn it? But, you know, listen, I can't speak for everybody. I don't know. Maybe it's the foundation or what you want to call the blueprint and how you was raised. I'm not saying how I was raised different than anybody else. It's just that I grew up in an environment, in a household, whereas adversities came quite often, if I'm saying mm-hmm. it mildly. Adversities and challenges came often. And sometimes in my youth, I had to learn trial by fire. Just things, you know, being growing up in an urban neighborhood, not having maybe certain things or being awarded certain things, it's made me more tough and ready. So when things happened to me later in life, I was a little bit more prepared. You know, there's been times my mom's and my father, money was tight. Money was very tight. And we had to make do. So as I got older and then when times got hard, I was prepared. I was a little bit more ready because I learned it at an early age. I'm not saying that if my parents could do something different and not put me in that situation, you know, it would have been, you know, different. But I just think life lessons as being young helped me out a lot. You know, also me being a Boy Scout and growing up in the Scout thing, because my mom put me in Scouts, it helped me become prepared. It helped me prepare myself. Black Scout Troop, my troop, Troop 8 of East Orange, New Jersey, is 98 years in existence, the oldest African-American troop in New Jersey. And being around all these men trying to teach me something and teach me values of being prepared, they didn't just use Scouts. They just said, look, just be prepared in general. Because you never know what happened. I'd be like, nah, go ahead with that, man. You know, because when you're young, you're thinking about today. You're not thinking about tomorrow. But they taught me, you got to think about how to prepare for the worst-case scenario. And I never understood that as I got, you know, got older, I started, you know, putting the life situations together and learning from these older guys. And that's just me personally, man. I just wanted to chime in real quick on that because that's something, this topic means a lot to me in being prepared in life. You know, I don't know if I can really be ready per se. I'm more of a responsive person. You know, I can respond pretty well. I work good at rest. That's just me personally. You know, that's just my thoughts, guys, on that topic there.
All right, Tom, you want to take this one, and I guess I'll back clean up.
You know, I actually also grew up in scouting and. You know, being prepared was always that thing they kept telling you that you had to do. So I've always tried to be prepared for things that happen in life. You know, you always have your little nest eggs. You always, you know, I'm not at a point where I have kids or anything yet, but, you know, I like to think that I was prepared for when I left my job, that I had, you know, money in the bank. I was good to last for a while, you know, and mm-hmm. I always had another plan for that, you know, that backup plan, what's going to happen next. You know, one of the best lessons I ever got was in college when I was fencing, and this one Ukrainian coach didn't speak English well, but he had this way of saying things. He's like, always have your second attack. And it's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, first attack only lands, you know, X amount of the time, but your second attack, that one lands almost 100% of the time. Always have your second attack ready. So that's mm-hmm. almost like a way I've been living my life now. It's like, you know, be prepared to have to go at it again and again because that first time will not always work.
That's right. That's right. Amen. That's right, brother. I would go on that one, brother. Definitely. But what about you, Big D? I mean, you know, you got any, like, you want to chime in on that a little bit?
Yeah, brother. I'm definitely going to chime in on this one. Okay. Everything, like I said, I'm not going to make this a sermon or a sermonette, but I will say that God puts us in places for reasons and for seasons. We are given a task from the day that we were born. We were. Ever heard that term, I was born to do this? I've got this naturally. Yeah. I have a natural God-given ability to do, fill in the blank. Mm-hmm, even when you are given a natural talent, a natural ability, if it is not practiced, if it's not honed, it will never be perfected.
True.
You could be a decent basketball player, but if you're not out, you know, at the park or in the backyard shooting 100 foul shots a day, it ain't never going to get nowhere. You have to put in the time to do it. When you're in school, you have to put in the time to study, to grab knowledge, to intake it, and to be able to relay it in a manner that other people can understand it in order for you to grow mentally and intellectually, in order for you to be able to achieve in life. You have to prepare yourself for the moment. When we are given opportunities, a lot of our failures, if we honestly looked within ourselves and saw it for what it was, happened because we were not ready when we got the opportunity. We rushed it. We went in before it was our time to go in. We decided we were going to take a bite out of it before we were actually ready to do so. But when we take our time and we understand what our goal is, like this show, we talked about this months before the show ever came on. We discussed what the purpose of the show was. It was to enhance male accountability, to give men a platform to gather together, to learn knowledge, to be able to transfer knowledge from one brother to another. That was the purpose for us doing this show. Along this way, there's Eddie, there's Haas, there's me and you, then there's Tom, then there's DeLacy, and then there's a whole bunch of other brothers that I could shout out, from Veranda Hughes to Don Rice to a whole plethora of other brothers who have come on to this show, Brenton Osborne. I could go on and on and on with guys who've come on this show and have shared their wealth, shared their knowledge, shared their story, shared their journey, all in order to make someone else better, in order to help somebody else get over a stumbling block that they can't figure their way out of. Because as men, we know that we don't, you know, we don't share our weaknesses. We don't do that. We don't leave ourselves vulnerable to nobody. Fuck that. But if somebody, you know, voluntarily happens to lay out a blueprint on how to get out of a trap, this is the trap, this is how you get out of it, without you having to put yourself out there on Front Street. You don't have to expose yourself. We're telling you how to get out. You know, and, you know, we have, you know, brothers who have been in the game, who have been in the struggle, trying to help in order for this to happen. There's been a cat behind the scenes, in the streets, will, you know, give me a call or send me a text or will tweet or whatever, or a Facebook message saying, you know, yo, that shows the truth. You know, I like when, you know, Eddie said this, or Nas said this, or Ha said that, or Tom this, or you this, blah, 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 blah. Well, what about dot, 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 dot? And I go, well, yo, if it was like that, you should just call in and say X, Y, and Z. And you never know where that conversation would take off. But if you want to talk to somebody behind the scenes, just say, yo, you know, you just want a chance to, you know, talk. You know, and to, you know, just share information. A lot of times, the information we need really is within. But sometimes we just need to have somebody help us dig in the right area to find that answer internally. You know what I mean?
That's right.
So that's, you know, that's what it's about. Are we ready yet? I mean, like right now, I'll use myself. I'm a perfect example. I've had a curveball in my professional life. I am finding myself having to change course directions unexpectedly. It's all good. I'm not panicky. I'm not worried about it. Why? because I'm prepared for it. That's why I'm not worried about it. I know what to do. I know what my next steps are. I'm not like, man, I ain't see this coming, so, you know, I'm going to panic or stress or do something stupid. No, not going to do nothing stupid at all. I'm going to keep on rolling. I mean, you know, where a door closes, another door opens. But you have to be ready for that other door to open. If you're not ready for it, it might as well never open at all. Because you don't want to step into something prematurely and not be able to, you know, accomplish the goals for which that, you know, that has been set forth for you, or you set forth for yourself. And that's what it's about.
Let me ask you a question. You said something kind of struck a nerve, man. I'm sorry to kind of interrupt you, but I want to catch you, because if I don't say it now, I ask you, I'll forget, bro.
Let me ask you, man.
I'm just keeping it real, man. Like, let me ask you, you know, being prepared, I guess everybody doesn't have or the knowledge per se, or maybe the resources to be prepared. There's a lot of people out here that don't maybe have a mentor or a good family or parent, a foundation. So a lot of times they're being more responsive to a situation than being proactive. And being prepared, both of you guys can help me out here. And, you know, some of our listeners, those who just tune in, you listen to the Man Up Talk Show, the Shadow Wolves Radio Network. You know, we call in. The number is 646-478-4507. And our topic is, are we ready yet? Open discussion on being prepared for life. But back to the question. I just want to make sure I threw that tag in there, fellas. You know, is it better to be proactive compared to being reactive? Which one
absolutely
prepares you a little bit more for life?
Proactive is always better. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, you always want to be proactive. I mean, when you're reactive, you basically are behind the curve. You're behind what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
When you're proactive, you're able to, prepare for anything, really. So.
Well, but you know what? It's funny. I'm glad you said that. And of course, the obvious answer would be proactive, because, you know, sometimes you can't always be prepared, you know, for everything, because I guess that's why they have emergency preparedness or management in different situations in first responders. I guess you're being prepared, but sometimes things come at you that you was never really prepared for. Is there other levels of being prepared that makes you react better? That's why I ask, because sometimes there's been situations I've been totally not prepared for, but how I responded to it, you know, made me more stronger. That's why I asked. It's kind of a tricky question, and I wish my brother Eddie was on to kind of give me his insights. I'd love to hear that. But that's why I ask you guys that, about being prepared versus being reactive, because a lot of times, there's a lot of people out here who just don't have the resources or the support mechanism, you know, to know how to be prepared. I mean, how do we help those, especially these young people out here who's living just for today? How do we teach them to be prepared? I mean, you know, it's kind of a two-part question, fellas. Help me out here.
Okay. I'm going to definitely help, but I'm going to do one of your numbers. Let me say something first before it leaves my mind. Let me put that out there. Okay.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of times when we react, and I want you to really think about this for yourself, aren't you reacting out of a sense of preparation or a state of preparation? I'm going to give you a classic example. My mother died. With a lot of things undone that we needed to get done and we needed to do, and things I think that, in my opinion, were left unsaid, just family, you know, without any sense of closure. It was sudden. My mother wasn't sick. My mother just died. I wasn't prepared for my mother's death. I never saw it coming. But my mother, my father, my grandparents raised me to be strong. They prepared me my whole life for dealing with crises. This was a crisis that my whole life I was prepared to deal with. I was being prepared and groomed from birth until the day she closed her eyes to be able to go, okay, I'm devastated. But despite my devastation, I will deal with every last thing, and I won't leave a stone unturned.
Okay. Okay. So you're basically saying youth helped you. So you're saying youth, you know, your youth is not saying that she was, you know, your parents was preparing you for their death. It was just that, I would say,
life
or just morals. It's just a foundation, a blueprint made you deal. Because, you know, I was there with you, bro, and you responded. You know, you responded strong as any other person I know out here, brother. And, you know, not everybody's prepared for their loved one, especially their mother, you know, especially their mother passing away. Yeah. But you responded well. It wasn't no script. It wasn't written out saying, hey, look, you know, you need to prepare when I die. You had no choice but to respond to the situation. You know, it wasn't a book, but you're saying that because the experiences you experienced at a younger age helped you prepare, you know, for life in that type of situation.
Exactly. And
okay,
now,
got you.
But to answer the question that you presented, what do we do for brothers out there who don't necessarily have anyone to mentor them, to give them those life skills to help them to adapt? Because that's what it's about. It's about adaptability. When like life punch you in the gut, you got to be ready to deal and respond.
You
can't lay there and die. You got to do something. Because
I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother. I mean, you know, go ahead. You struck a nerve on something, but go ahead. I'm with you.
Yeah, you can't just lay there and die. You're either going to let life happen to you or you're going to happen to life.
Okay.
You got to make the call. You know, things unexpectedly happen. You lose your job. Somebody dies. Somebody went to jail. You know, somebody got sick. You got sick.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
These are the circumstances that you are faced with. It might not be your fault, but it is your problem. You might not have done anything to cause this situation that is befalling you, but it is your issue to deal with. You know, and as men, we are accountable. You heard that there's a saying that was said in The Godfather that women and children can be careless, but never men. And in a manner, Don Corleone had a point. You know, when it all hits the fan, everybody's turning to you for answers. What do we do? You know, you just can't look back at them and say, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. You can't do that. I mean,
You know what, bro? I mean, I'm with you on this one. I'm with you 100% on this one because you said something, you know, and I keep thinking about the cliche. I'm not sure if it's the Marines or the Army, overcome and adapt. I believe it's the Special Forces motto that's used, overcome and adapt. Tom, you know, you're working with NAACP. You're proactive about, you know, the rights of colored people, you know, nationwide, not just in New Jersey, nationwide. I mean, is it we as African-American men, I'm going to say men because that's why I can speak as an African. Let me just say as a black man, you know, I'm still, that's a whole other situation about African-American men because I hear, you know, other people from other countries like saying, no, I'm not a British black man. I'm a British person, but that's a whole other show we can get into. But it's a whole other show. It's just ironic. But are we as black men in America, are we a little bit more tough and ready for life compared to other ethnic groups, men? Are we a little bit more prepared?
You know, as black men, you got to understand we are, you know, some of the proudest people, some of the most stubborn people. And
amen.
Are we ready for life? I mean, I don't, I, I don't know. We have a lot, you know, there's a lot working against us. You know, there's no second place for a black man in America. And,
Say that one more time, brother.
There's no second place for a black man in America.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for saying that.
And we, you know, we always have to do better. We always have to be cleaner, stronger, better, more impressive, have the better resume, have the better education, the better skill set, and, you know, just so that we can compete at an even playing field, we have to be better.
That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
And it's the truth.
Yeah. It is. Are we ready? I don't know if we are. There's a lot of black men. We need to stand up and be men, and when we have the ones who have the knowledge, we got to share it, because we keep it to ourselves.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Absolutely, bro. You said something about being number one. I definitely need your input on this, man, because I think the fact that as black men, I mean, I can only speak as black men. I know there's a lot of strong black women, but I can only speak from a male's perspective, is that if we keep on accepting mediocrity and below, we're never going to get ahead. So, I mean, even our president, you know, they say he's Milano, he's not all black. It doesn't even matter. He's still a black man. He still is getting ridiculed and put down. He has to work four times as hard just to say, hey, look, I'm the president. And, you know, you got to give me my respect. And I agree with you, Tom. I mean, we have to work harder, much harder than the average person, just to show that we are capable, if not better. Not saying I'm better than the next man, you know, whatever, but I just think the level of accepting mediocrity in our lives is something that we need to eradicate from a lot of our young men, as even our older men's lives, and the way they're thinking, because it just kills me. You know, oh, man, I'm just going to get me a job. Well, you getting a job, once you get a damn career, think about the long-term thing. You know, you got 101 people going for the same damn job. Think about the long-term career. Stop thinking about just a job. Think about you get this job. All right, you got a job. Think about a career. Think down the line. And I think it goes in line with being prepared for life. You know, and every time you get to a job, I talk to my sons, you know, and my daughter, you know, I want them to want more. You know, don't just look at a job. Look at it as, you know, every time you get to a job, look at it as an opportunity to build your resume. You always think into the next level, because we as black people, we have to work much, much harder than the average person, and they have to accept that, because nobody's going to give nothing to us at the end of the day. We have to be prepared and work beyond just mediocrity and stop accepting mediocrity. That's my thought.
Hey, you're 100% right. You know, how many black men take the time to, you know, just sit down and teach their kids about some of the more important life skills, about how do they do resumes? How do they do job interviews? How do they every once in a while you got to smile at one of them when they're saying something you don't believe in, but you just need to smile and just say to yourself, you know what, I'm better than this. How do we teach that? How do we teach our kids? I mean,
Tom, you know, you deal with the NAACP, right? And the organization promotes equality. What is the NAACP doing? Is there something that they're doing? Because I know, I mean, I hear a lot of things about different organizations. I mean, I'm not as deep into organization as you are, but I do follow what you do, and I follow what, you know, I'm becoming a little bit more of a fan now, per se, and, you know, I'm going to sign my applications coming. This will work with me. You know, what else can we do to kind of bring a little bit more awareness? Because it just seems like, what's the old cliche? You know, you got to knowledge yourself. I think Rakim said it in one of his rap albums years ago, you know, knowledge of self. Yeah. I mean, how can we bring that knowledge to our young people, or even our older people who just stuck in the same damn status quo, mediocrity levels in life? How do we bring a little bit more awareness?
You know, a lot of it comes from just being able to share stories amongst ourselves. You know, we used to be some of the best storytellers there were. We used to share, you know, that was the way we communicated with two stories. And that's the way that you get, that's the way we share information. You know, you look at, and then we start, we have to start getting back to being able to talk to our families and talk mm-hmm. to our neighbors and talk to our community. Mm-hmm. Go to the barbershop and have a real conversation. Yep. Go down to a church and after church have a conversation about, you know, what's going on in education, what's going on with the community, what's going on with, you know, whose family, how do we all work together to make sure that every, you know, every one of our kids is taken care of. Who's going to watch the, you know, little Jimmy after he gets off of school because his mom's got two jobs and isn't going to be home? Mm. Who's going to sit there and help him make sure his homework gets done? Who's going to, you know,
good point. Very good point, brother. Good point, Brother Darrell.
It all starts with us. Bottom line, it all starts with us. Every man that, within the sound of my voice, everyone who can look at themselves in the mirror. Our community has disintegrated to this state based upon the fact that men stop being men. Not to take away from other shows that we've got coming next week or next couple of weeks where we're dealing with Black History Month, but,
that's right.
You know, where are the Medgar Evers? Where are the Malcolm X's, the Martin Luther King Jr.'s, the Thurgood Marshall's, the Adam Clayton Powell Jr.'s, the Stokely Carmichael's, the Huey P. Newton's, the, you know, where are these brothers? You know, where are the next crop? You know, Martin and Malcolm, they both died at the age of 39. I mean, they weren't in their 50s. They weren't in their 50s. They weren't even 40 yet. They were 39.
Excuse me.
The Montgomery bus boycott, Martin Luther King Jr. was only 29 years old.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He was 29.
And they did more with less.
That's right.
We have
you said, you had
to
say that again, brother. People don't understand that, man. They don't understand when you said they did more with less. Can you explain to some of our listeners, especially the young listeners, what you meant by they did more with less?
They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. They didn't have text messaging.
Mm.
They, you know, how do you organize the largest march on Washington without a cell phone, without a Facebook event?
Hold on. You're going to have to repeat that one, brother. Say that again.
How do you organize the largest march on Washington without a cell phone, without text messaging, without Facebook, without Twitter?
No Instagram, no nothing.
No.
Not even
yet.
And they, you know, they had to organize the buses, the people, the, you know, every aspect of that.
That's right. No, I mean, it's real talk, brother.
You know, from the Ralph Abernathys to the Andrew Youngs to the Jesse Paxton. All of these people at that stage in their lives, my God, they were in their early 20s. Early. Only Ralph Abernathy and Dr. King, they were in their early 30s.
Yep.
They weren't, we're at...
But you also got to keep in mind, there's that next step that they weren't too good at, which was moving out the way and letting someone else move on up.
Grooming. And, I mean, Martin could say that there was Jesse, there was Andrew Young. They were being prepared, but they weren't being groomed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, because they were active in the game, that prepared them for what came next. but they weren't groomed. You can be prepared without being groomed, just from being in the presence and paying attention.
Please explain that a little more deeper. I mean, that's a very analytical statement you just said, my brother. I mean, you're saying be prepared without being groomed. You know, you kind of went over to some people's head. I just got something on Facebook, you know, sent to my personal box. He's like, you know, please elaborate a little more. Big shout out to Brick City 911. You know, he's listening. But please explain that again.
All right, my brothers, here we go. You can be prepared without being groomed. You need to be both. Now, life circumstances, let's say I wanted to learn how to be a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Naz DJ. I can hang around Naz and watch everything that Naz does, from record selection to how he physically goes about doing what he does. And I can mimic that because I've witnessed it over and over and over again. But what goes into record selection, how to feel the crowd out, what type of crowd do I have, what do I bring with me when I'm going into it, that takes somebody consciously giving me information in order for me to assimilate it myself. That's grooming.
Mm-hmm.
That's someone mm-hmm. with their eye on the ball, their eye on me, taking up this mantle and doing it for myself. This person is preparing me. This person is grooming me for the next phase. It's
mm-hmm.
up to me to be prepared and to be able to be groomed, to be groomable. I have to be willing to receive that information. But let's just say I'm willing to receive the information, but Naz is not willing to give it to me. But if I'm witnessing everything that he does, yes, I'm going to pick up on the craft based upon the fact that I'm there.
Okay.
I am teachable. I am learnable. So for which I am myself, I am prepared for the situation based upon the fact that I have observed and I have now acted upon what I have observed. But I am much
mm-hmm.
better if the person whom which I'm observing takes interest in what I'm taking interest in and grooms me to prepare me for the challenge ahead.
Okay.
Different.
Okay. I got you, brother. I got you, definitely. Now, preparing, I'm sorry, someone asked me a question. Now, how can we get our younger people who kind of live, I'm talking about the young people now. Can we get our younger people today who have this, I'm living for today, not tomorrow? How can we change that? Is there a strategy? Is something we can do? I know it's about sharing, but sometimes when you know, you're young and you figure you're tough, you have a Teflon Don attitude, nothing can hurt you, you don't want to listen. How can we reach that? Because right now, I know we got social media and all that stuff. They're doing their own thing now. And, you know, how can we reach them, you know, instead of them waiting till it's too late and they're in jail, mom, dad, or listen, officer, can you help me out? How can we reach our younger people? I mean, guys, how, you know, can you help me out here? Is there any way we can do any suggestions? And listeners, please, if you want to chime in, please, the number is 646-478-4507. You know, we're talking about, and are we ready? You know, right now we're trying to figure out how can we reach our younger people and let them know how to be prepared for life, or how can we reach them and say, hey, look, you got to get prepared, instead of being responsive and wait till the last moment or the final hour when something happens. And now, oh, man, I didn't know about this. What can we do, guys? Any suggestions?
I always believe you got to meet them where they are. You know, some you can't expect everyone to come out of their sort of comfort zone for something that they're not, you know, that they're not 100% vested in. So if you really want to get some kids to understand what they need to do with their life or how they need to start making certain choices, you got to meet them where they are and just start having small conversations. You're not going to change, you know, you can't do a whole lot of change in one day. But you can start having a conversation about, well, do you know how to You know, do you have a checking account? Do you have a bank account? Do you know how to balance your checkbook? Do you start slow? Do you know how to, you know, do you actually know how to cook? You know, just a little small bit. You know, do you make dinner yourself? Do you, or, you know, do you go out and eat all the time? Or do you know? And then just keep having those small conversations, and eventually they all add up to, you know, a better person, hopefully, a more ready and productive and capable person to handle all life has to offer.
Okay, so you're saying basically a lot of the small conversations should add up. Now, what about those?
You know,
I mean, I'm assuming you're talking about people that's closer to you, like, you know, family members.
Family, church, you know, people you go to church with, people you might have on, you know, if you've got a kid yourself who's on, say, a sports team and they've got some, you know, someone else on the team with them, and you're bringing them home one day, and you just start having small conversations. And you know, like, they might need the lecture help themselves. I mean, I don't know. Or the friends that your kids bring home. You know, they're all there. You've got the chance to reach people.
Okay.
All the
time. So,
yeah.
So what about those in the hood who don't have, let's talk about the street. Let's take it to the street, the young people in the street. I mean, without you kind of going around, walking around with a Bible or acting all crazy, like, you know, let me give you a pamphlet, but Jesus said, you know, Jehovah said. I mean, you're not trying to scare them off, but you're just trying to talk to them about, like, how do we reach those, you know, out there? I mean, how do we reach them? I mean, I know you're saying go out to where they at, but, you know, sometimes you got some of these, you know, disrespect to any religion out here and what you do, but you got some people really eccentric with it. You know, they trying to jam, you know, Jehovah said this, you know, you're going to hell. I mean, what? Wait a minute. If you're trying to give me a pamphlet,
yeah,
that's not
you
the way
instantly
to
just
get
set
out
them off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't need you to scare me. I mean, come on now. I mean, damn. Or they banging on your door. You're like, listen, you know, listen, I don't need no book. You know, I'm good. I don't need it. And they stick their foot in the door. I'm like, yo, wait a minute. I'm closing my door. It's early in the morning. Seriously. I mean, how do we reach these people? I mean, even in the street, those who don't have, who don't want to hear you, or just kind of like let it ride. I mean, I don't know. I just feel that we have a sense of obligation as men, you know, godly men and men who's about something, to try to reach them in some way, shape, form, or fashion. I know personally I have my own views on what I can do, but it is what it is. And matter of fact, before you answer that question, I want to bring on the one and only Signature Black to the show, because obviously she's up and she has something to chime in on. So without no further ado, let me bring in Miss Signature Black. Good evening, Miss Signature.
Hi, guys.
Good evening.
Greg.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Nothing.
What's
I
going
love
on,
you guys.
Sig? How
guys
you feeling?
Really, I'm doing great. You guys really, really balance out my hectic week, I swear. Love when you
Thank
guys
you very much.
Talk. I'm learning
Thank
something.
You.
I get very humble. I've got to say this. Tom, are you on the line?
I'm here.
I am so
They upgraded the towers in my area, so my phone is working better.
Great. I am so proud of you. I did post it in the group, though. It's been 37 minutes, and Thomas Lorenzo Reynolds is still on the phone. Yay.
Yes. And he's chiming in. He's on point.
Yes, and I'm going to admit I had to agree with what he said about meeting them on their level. Great show, guys. The thing
Thank
about,
you.
Like you said, those kids who are not in your family, those kids who don't go to church, who you don't know, I just go and talk to them. I go ask them a question. See, if you ask their opinion on something, it opens up a door. It becomes
good point.
Tit for tat conversation because, they know things. They're very smart, very intelligent if you take the time out to talk to today's youth. They can come at you with some stuff that'll make me say, wait, let me Google that. So I'll be out somewhere because I'll talk to anybody and I'll go, I'm curious what's going on with them. And I'll just go say, hey, do you like this? So I'm in the mall. It's easy. You like this shirt? And it'll be the ugliest shirt I've ever picked up. And it strikes up a conversation. We end up talking about something else. They realize later I just wanted to learn something from them, wanted to share something with them, and I never intended to buy the ugly shirt. They feel mostly like, you know, they're disrespected and they're being prejudged, and they are. And our generation
That's right.
acts as if we didn't do the same thing. We wore some questionable stuff. We did the, our adults saying, why are they dressed like that? Why are they listening to that? Why are they doing that? And it was just a fad or something that was going on at the time. And so rather than preach at them, because nobody wants to be preached at. If you preach at me, I'm shutting down. So I know how that's like, that, how that feels.
That's right.
So you just go, you approach them like you would any stranger. Say, hello, I have a question. Could you guys help me out? You know, whatever. Even a young lady, and or I'll be near them and I'll listen to them, and they got some words, and I thought I cussed. Good Lord. And I go, you're not old enough to say that word. I'm not old enough to say that word. And I got a lot of cuss words in me. And they always laugh or whatever. They're smoking or something. I go, give me that cigarette. And I throw it out. I've never had anybody get upset with me. I've never had anybody get belligerent with me. It always strikes up a conversation, which is probably why I have 50 million kids everywhere who call me mom. Mm-hmm.
Very good. You know, Sig, I love the fact that how you, your approach was to ask the question, because I think that you nailed it as far as a lot of our youth don't that they're respected. So when you ask the question, like you said, it engages them. Because I find that when I talk to my children, you know, excuse me, I see my children, you know, they're still young adults, but they're still my children. When I ask them a question, 9 times out of 10, they'll respond, and they're a little bit more engaged in the conversation because they feel, okay, he's valuing my opinion on what I have to say. So I do agree with you 100% about that. And I think that a lot of our listeners who's listening, especially I call it our stuck in a way older people, change your thought pattern. If you're trying to, if you're trying to reach our young people, you can't use the same tactics that, you know, expecting different results. That goes to the church. It goes to these so-called, I'm going to be honest, these so-called mentorship programs. Oh, you got to do this. You got to do that. No, change up right now. Things change. Our youth change, generation change. If things change, you have to be able to change your tactics to get a different result. They do it all the time in war, in army, in military. They do it all the time. You have to adjust your tactics to adjust to the battle plan. You know, for those military that's listening, you know, big shout out to those the military over in Afghanistan still listening to the Man Up Show. We love y'all for listening. Throw that in there. Cool. But no, seriously, Sid, you nailed it. I mean, you gotta meet them on their terms. You gotta, you know, Tom, you said it right. Meet them on their terms. Sid, you said it as far as asking them the questions, because a lot of times with younger people, if you talk to them, you ask them questions, you find out more, and then through that conversation, you can kind of bring out more and slide in good advice. And like you said, hey, look, you know, you should, you know, you curse more than me. You know, they laugh, but they was engaged with you. So at the same time, you was giving them something prepared for in life, you know, that spins back, if I can borrow Eddie's terminology, what we're talking about, we spin it back to the original subject matter or how we'd be being prepared for life. I guess it's an issue of kind of giving a question to get an answer to give a lesson. I mean, they kind of sound a little analytical there, but basically that's the reality I see when dealing with our young people. You give them a question, let them give an answer. You can give a result. You can give a scenario. They have a conversation. Now you're giving them a lesson. They have learned something after that conversation, based off of one damn question that you gave to them.
Yeah. And it's like,
so
I think
it's awesome.
I miss my little first graders who are now in third grade. When I was in Birmingham, first thing I did was find some kids to mentor, and my whole plan was just to read to preschoolers. And I used to go read to them, and then they were like, can we ask you questions? And I was like, okay. I had no idea what these little minds were going to ask. They wanted to know, I had just cut my hair, why I cut my hair. Did my man like that I cut my hair? What did he think about what I wore to work every day? They had these questions that just made me look at them and go, what? That's personal. And they said, you said you would answer the questions. So I entertained their questions, and I have not read to them since. They were like, I said, okay, guys, you know, you guys have fun. You're going to go to kindergarten, da-da-da. They were like, no, you're coming with us. They took me to each class with them. They did not let me go. We developed such a relationship, and I was like, this is my cell phone number. You guys can call me anytime you want. And they called at the oddest hours, and I'm going, where are your parents? I told them I was calling you. And it's just like now to go, we miss you, we're just checking up on you. But I always treated them with respect. And once I started answering their questions, and I was honest with them about it, and they were honest about whether or not they liked my haircut, which was amazing to me because one of them made me want to grow my hair back. But she's like, I don't like it. You look like a little boy. I said, you are a little boy.
Oh.
And I got lost in the moment. I was like, these are kids. These kids are drawing me in. But I was honest with them, and we ended up talking about whatever the world situation was, because I found that they watched the news every night. And anything that they wanted to know, they felt very comfortable with talking to me about it. And then people would say, why do you answer them yes, sir, and yes, ma'am? Because I want them to know I respect them.
Good
and then
point.
Giving them that respect, I get that respect back. I treat my kids the same way. I go, yes, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, to my kids. And so they were like, what? I said, instead of saying, you will say yes, ma'am, you will say yes, sir, you're making them rebellious, give them the respect and watch them give it back.
Oh, yeah.
Mm, good point. I love that. I love that. And, you know, that's another topic right there, Sig, about respect. We definitely have a show just on that alone, respect. You know, respect. Is it with the belt? No, I don't. But that's another story. But nah,
that's
you,
totally
you're
world.
Right. Cause, you know, that's a whole other world. Because you know, you know, people say, oh, you can't hit your child. You know, yeah, you spank your child, but I'm not saying hit him in the head with a iron, you know, car jack. You know, I'm just saying. But that's a whole other show. But
yes,
no, sir. Like you said, I mean, I think it's the fact that we have to, you know, talk to and communicate, you know, with our young people, treat them, you know, as they're important. Because you know, a lot of times I think that with us as adults, I'm even guilty myself. I have to be honest. We figure because we have accomplished certain things, and I'm gonna say this because it made this person listen. I don't know if he's listening or not. Some people. You know what? D. I'm gonna say certain things. It may ruffle a couple feathers. I don't give a damn. It's all good. listen. I'm gonna say it. Every show. I gotta say something that's off kill. Listen, some people figure. You know, you was in the street. You was doing dirt. You was doing your damn thing. You know, you was out there smoking crack, doing coke, and smoking weed. Got yourself. You just got into all kind of drama. But then you cleaned yourself up. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. But then you became holier than thou. You figured that, mm-hmm. I'm beyond that. I can't talk to nobody. You need to get your life together. So now you point the finger like you. Now you putting judgment. You point the finger. Oh, you need to check yourself. I did this. Hold up. You the same joke over there that was over there, you know, doing crack and all this other nonsense. And now you being judgmental. Saying, see, that kills me, cats out here. You know, he wasn't ready for love. He had all the, all the foundation, all the support in the planet, but yet he's sitting there passing everybody else. And like Sig said, you know, he wasn't willing to go talk to other people. He was being judgmental. He cleaned himself up, and I'm proud of him. That's all good. But, you know, he wasn't prepared for life when that thing hit him and that crack hit him during that time, because crack was something else. Once you tried it, you was done. I mean, you was hit. That was all. He wasn't ready for it, but he responded. But then he became something else that, personally, I don't like. Straight up, I don't like, because he forgot where he came from. He forgot how to talk to them. And then, you know, when he talked to younger people, they look at him like, man, you know, they're like, oh, man, he knows what he talk about. Like, listen, man, you're not even listening to this kid. You're not listening to the younger people. You're putting judgment on them. Listen to them. They have something to say. Maybe they're fighting some of the same battles that you was in. You know, like right now, a lot of these kids drinking that, what they call that, syrup stuff or what that. That milkshake, they put the cough medicine and all kind of crap in it, and Lil Wayne drinks and all that stuff. They end up in the PCP and all this stuff. They're fighting some of the same battles, maybe a different time and era. But, you know, understand that they're going through something. You got to hear them out. And a lot of people that's listening to this show, you know, sometimes as adults, it's hard for us to hear you, you know. So we tell you, keep your head up, man. You know, you got people... Like myself, I've been guilty. I have not always been so open-minded, you know, in listening to my kids at times, and I feel bad about that at times, but I have to remember that I was once there. I did certain things, and I have to listen to them, and when I listen to them, I find that they're very smart. they may have made some bad decisions, but that's what I'm supposed to be here for, share my experiences. So, Sig, I agree with you about, you know, listening to our younger people. Tom, I agree with you about meeting them on a level. But sometimes we have these goddamn adults out here who so closed-minded who don't want to even do that at all. They forgot about they used to be out there doing crack or sucking dick. Excuse my language. I said that, damn. My bad. I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Oh, Lord. You see, the nigga done came out of me. I'm sorry. But anyway. I'm sorry. I didn't say it. These the Daryl can take over, man. I'm slipping again.
Oh, man. Okay. My man. But you're right, though. Sometimes we forget how we got here. Sometimes we forget, you know, those along the way. My whole thing is the only reason why I need to look down upon you is to help you up. And that's it.
Hold on. Say that again, brother. Say it again. People understand that.
The only reason that I need to look down upon you is to help you up. And that's it. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. Point blank. I don't. Nobody died and made me God. I've had my own shares of ups and downs, of failures, of shortcomings, and guess what? I still do. And guess what? I will probably always have until the last day I close my eyes. We all are. Nobody is a perfect person. But our goal is to strive for perfection. Our goal is to be a better person tomorrow than we were today. Our goal is to help somebody else who is lost along the way. That's the goal. Not to, you know, have a sense of self-fulfillment based upon accomplishment. See, this is why God leaves us with infirmities and imperfections, because if he didn't, we would be convinced for some strange reason that we have done something special or unique. That we have something that is so spectacular and so going on that it separates us from everybody else. Newsflash, you're not special. Newsflash, you haven't done something that no one else has ever done before. Newsflash, you're not great. Newsflash, you know, you're imperfect. Newsflash, you're not even really competent, to be honest with you. Newsflash, you made it because somebody smiled upon you and blessed you.
Lord.
That is why you're able to do what you did. Not because you're special, not because you're great, not because you're so smart, not because your bank account is a certain way, not because you're so strong, not because you're so attractive. It's because somebody gave you grace and gave you the wherewithal to be there for somebody else. And understand, if you try to hoard it for yourself, because sometimes we become a little selfish. We all do. Let's not fake it. We all do. But understand, the reason why we are blessed and given certain gifts and talents isn't so we can marvel at our own greatness, but so we can prepare somebody else to be even greater.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That's amen, brother. Amen. Let me ask you guys a question and say, you know, please help me out on this one. Now, you have a lot of people who, they will consider themselves, quote, unquote, successful when you have a lot of money, you got the house, you got the things that you always wanted. But why is it so hard for some people when they lose that? They just feel like their world is crashing. They you know, that's when you have what they call it, what was that in Wall Street, and the people jumped out of windows. Somebody help me out here.
The depression.
The depression, right. You know,
yeah.
Depression, I mean, you know, as far as I know, you know, I know how to be before. I've been there, done that. I mean, what about those who are successful or they consider successful financially, and when they lose it all, they're not prepared to to know how to deal with the survival of even, I guess, going to the supermarket or living in, not in that in the large 12, whatever, 10-room house or whatever you call it, and now they have to live in a studio. How come, you know, now I'm talking to those who are successful, because the riches that you got, you cannot die with it. You can't take that money with you.
Nope.
How can you prepare yourself in the worst case scenario? Because, you know, I think there's a biblical verse that will help me out here, man, about, you know, the riches that you have can be taken away. And I believe Jesus also made it known when he went to the house and he started throwing all of the bill collector down the ground. Like, you know, what's this?
It's easier to pass through an eye of a needle.
You know, good for a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. Yep.
That's what I need to hear. That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Nah, you know what it is?
Yeah, I mean,
you mm-hmm. They get so caught up in, I have this, I've accomplished that, I'm standing on top of the world, you know. And then when they lose it, they've lost them, because it's not about, oh my God, they're pride. They don't have any pride because they've wrapped it up into material things.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the rich people
mm-hmm.
in the world do
mm-hmm.
the simplest things in life. They don't change the way they live. And, you know, people have a tendency who, if I get a $20 raise, I'm going to start spending $21 more dollars a month. That's madness and
mm-hmm.
sheer craziness to me. I tell anybody, if you live off $1,000 a month, keep doing that. Put your raise in
mm-hmm.
the bank. Invest your raise. You don't have to try to live like the Joneses. Just because she wore
mm-hmm.
$4,000 shoes, I mean, you need to. You don't know what she did to get them damn shoes. So, and that's
mm-hmm.
what, and then they become very haughty and they become so full of self. So when Wall Street bottomed out, rather than drop to their knees and say, "Dear Lord, please help me," they decided to jump off the building until the devil come and get me.
Yep. Go ahead on, sick. That's
you
it.
You don't get wrapped up in your riches. You don't get wrapped up in your success. You don't get wrapped up in the things that you've accomplished and what you've done. And it goes back to saying that you're very selfish with those things, because my heart is always touched that if it's something I can help somebody with, I'm going to try to help you with that. I'm going to do what I can to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I've tried to say, you know what, fuck the rest of the world. I'm just going to take care of me. I'm just going to do me. And the very people that have worked my last nerve, who I decided I'm about to delete out my phone, they call and they need something. And my heart, because God knows me, won't let me tell them no, won't let me push them out of my life. I can't get, because I am not built to get lost in who I am and what I have and what I can accomplish. I am not built to take my talents and build me up to say, I, me, this is me, this is what I did. And that's what I was trying to explain to people. I don't like talking about me because it sounds haughty. It sounds prideful. It's not for me. Let me talk about what I can help you with. What are your goals? What are your dreams? Because that's my spirit. That's how I am. So if my world bottomed out, if I fell, and if Jimmy Choo was no longer my friend, I would still be okay. I'm still going to get up and walk the next day, and if you need my help, I'm still going to help you.
I'm going to bring you in.
Say what?
No.
Hello? Yeah, I'm sorry, brother. I mean, I'm sorry, man. I was behind the scenes with Brother Eddie. We got Brother Eddie L. Fairley back online.
Eddie's the man down tonight.
Oh, yeah,
no, I was
yeah,
not
I'm,
down.
Yo, Eddie. Now, listen, Eddie.
That was a
dead
battery.
Listen, Eddie, before we go any further, Tom went in. Tom
oh,
went
word?
In. And Tom, yeah. No, Tom went in. Tom went in.
And he's been on the show the whole time.
So Tom's going to get on. He's going to call in on the landline and try to go in on me while I'm gone.
No, listen, Tom was insightful. Tom was on point. You know, Sig like, hold up, Tom is on point. And I got to comment, Tom. But what he was saying was some real stuff. I don't know, Sig, you want to paraphrase a little bit what Tom was going in on? But it was hitting at home.
He was talking about the way to reach the youth, and he was like, you meet them at their level. Of course, he got some new towers in this area, so that Galaxy Note 3 is the bomb right now. I can understand why you had a Galaxy Note 3 using Boost Mobile. Anyway, he is on point. He stayed on the line. I had to put it on Facebook. Thomas Lorenzo Reynolds is still with us. And he's making points and sides that I agree with.
Nah, I'm glad, man, Tom made, we, he made almost the whole show.
Yeah, no, for real, man. You know, honestly, it's been one of those shows where we're being humble. We're just trying to figure out or just have an open discussion about life, man, whether it's being proactive or reactive and just how to deal with different things, man. But I think at one point he's like, you know, oh, we'd love to hear Eddie on this one because you know he likes to go in.
What are we talking about now?
Are we ready yet about how are we being prepared for life, whether it's gone positive or negative? How are we being prepared? Daryl, was there anything else I missed on that one?
No, that's pretty much the blueprint of it. Is okay, life, we either are going to happen to life or life happens to us. We're either prepared for the circumstances and situations for which befall us or we are not. It's were you prepared, you know, when you got the job promotion, were you really prepared to take it?
Were
you adequate for the challenge ahead?
Yeah.
You know, when you lost your job, you know, were you ready to deal with the ramifications and repercussions of the fact that you just bought yourself a BMW 7 Series?
Oh, Dal, I got something for you. Yeah, what was you had when you slept with that girl? She's talking about she got twins. How about
that? Exactly.
Well, ain't mine. Yo, come on, you slept with? No, it wasn't me.
Y'all crazy.
Oh, Jesus.
When I first came in the house, I put my laptop on first when I put my phone on the charger to come in the house and get out of my my clothes and everything. And I heard Nas going in about some dude that used to drink or something. I was like, what is going on right now?
No.
He fell down and picked himself up, and now he's holier than thou.
Now you think he walk on water. You would think he got the Holy Grail. He didn't got the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm like, yo, dude, man, you used to do crack or something. Come on, stop it. Let me come now.
Yeah.
Really?
Damn! You ain't count a lot of people like that. I'm sorry, man. Quickly forget where they came from.
That's necessary. Because there's a lot of people that do it. They get over their weakness or become strong in a specific area, and now those who are weak in that area, they want to talk down to them. So, that definitely needs to be addressed. Those are the people that you got over your strength to help, or you should have been. You should be helping because you are now evidence that they can get through. So you shouldn't be avoiding them. You should be out there seeking them so that you can show them that, hey, I'm an example of what you can be. That's terrible that people
that's
are like that.
That's why they saw through it in the first place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. How to be ready for life. And I'm like, yo, you need to be ready for life. You're pointing your finger. You got the finger off. I'm like, yo, hold up, dog. What about you? Stop shooting them down. Maybe they're fighting a different battle, but the same war. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I understand.
So what is your thoughts, bro, Eddie? I mean, you know, are we ready yet? Is there such thing about being prepared for life, different adversities, punches, or whatever you want to call it? Is there?
Well, you know, it's funny that we're having this conversation because, you know, I'm about to use Sig's favorite line of mine. If you check the archives from last show, I was talking about being mentally prepared for what's to come. A lot of people get those, they'll win the lottery and go broke and all that stuff like that. So me, you know, I'm an avid reader and I'm always working on preparing myself for what I know is coming. Not that I hope it's coming, but I know it's coming, and I just don't want to be ill-prepared for the blessings that are coming, because so many people are, And there's definitely ways to do it, whether it's reading business books or paying attention to those who have came or are before you in the predicament that you want to be in, and talking to them or just watching them mess up. And that's something that I'll definitely be talking about tomorrow, because I saw a few of the questions that they're going to ask me about my father. I learned so much of what not to do through my father's mistake that it helped.
Good point.
His weaknesses became my strength. So that's a way of preparing yourself by just being aware and paying attention. A lot of times we don't pay attention. We just go through life. We don't necessarily live it. We just there. I'm very attentive, and I pay attention to everything. It's kind of compulsive sometimes, but I like to learn as much as I can from people's mistakes as well as just talking to them and asking. And I have a firm belief that you can learn from anybody. I overheard Sig talking about the stuff that the children ask. Children ask the darndest things, but you can learn a lot from children. Just watching
yes.
how intellectual and wise we are through God. Just watching my son, I was talking to my wife a few months ago, just saying how like we take for granted how intellectual we are as human beings. Just for me to watch a 3 or 4 month old, like who taught him that after you the bottle gets low that he should tilt his head back further so that he can get more of the bottle. You know what I'm saying? It's the small
yes.
things that
yes.
that's not taught. That's just that's intellect and that's just given from God, and we take advantage of that, and we don't strengthen our muscles, which is why I read so much, because you got to exercise that muscle, and that's the strongest brain, strongest muscle that you have in your body, which is your brain, and if you don't exercise it, it's going to be just as unhealthy as everything else. So that's pretty much the way that I get prepared. Where I'm weak, I'll start reading and stuff on it, and and if I aspire to be something, I'll find somebody that's successful at it, and I'm humble enough to ask them, would they share with me how they did it.
You know what? You said something, I think, for a lot of our listeners, to once again, you are the Man Up Talk Show. You said something, Eddie, that I try to drill into my kids' head all the time. They probably looking like, damn, you're always saying this. You surround yourself around people who's either better of you or people who's about something going further, going progressing in life. You don't want to surround yourself with people who's underneath you. I mean, you can help those, like Daryl said, I'm going back to what Daryl said, only time you should look down on someone is to reach down to help them
up. To help them up.
That's the only time. That's it. If I want to learn how to become, if I want to learn how to make money, I'm gonna be around somebody who's made money. If I want to learn how to become a better speaker, I'm gonna be around people like Brother Eddie. I'm gonna be around Brother Daryl. what I'm saying is, because this show right here is something, the last thing you thought I would ever do. Cats that know me growing up, they'd be like, Nas on a talk show, really? But being around guys and being around, you know, people who support the vision has raised my game as far as my intellectually thinking, you know, what I do. I mean, I do a lot of things outside mentorship-wise, but talking to Eddie, I think we had a show maybe last year, maybe we talk about communications, he's taught me that. I've learned so much by surrounding myself around certain people, and it's helped me. But my knowledge base and what I do is I share it, and as now I'm going back to what Tom saying, I'm sharing that information with my kids. I'm sharing this information that I learned with them so that they can take on it. You know, they may not hear everything I'm saying because, you know, they're that age, but I know it's sinking in, because if I say it enough, it's going to sink in, definitely.
And
so
you know,
we'll meet them on that level.
A couple of steps further, man, that a lot of parents don't do, and I'm confident that Sig will agree with me on this, is what they should do is share your failures just as much as you share your successes. And a lot of times we as parents don't want to tell our children what we did wrong back in the day or where we went wrong even currently. And that's opportunities for them to learn without having to go through it themselves, as well as showing them that they can talk to you about the things that they do have mentally going on, saying, well, dang, Mom can relate to this, or Dad can relate to this, or he was open enough to share this with me. Now I don't necessarily have to go through it or think that I'm crazy for going through it and want to keep it to myself. Or keep it to myself because it's quite often. And another thing, too, that I often have done in my past and I'm willing to do now, which a lot of people think is crazy, but I will go to someone who has what I have and ask them, can I work for them for free? Just like kind of like an apprenticeship, but I just want to do whatever you want me to do in your daily routine. I want to do it for free for several weekends or a week or whatever. But though it might come off as free as far as me not making any money, I'm getting a wealth of knowledge and understanding as to what it is that you do that I'm taking for myself and I'm going to use for my own benefit. And just
That's
imagine
right.
someone asking, can I work for you for free? That's a compliment in itself. And not too many people would turn you down instead of people just thinking that they deserve something before they even give anything, and they're trying to work for dollars or whatever. I know we're in a recession, but there's a lot of things that you can learn by just giving your time. And, hell, a lot of people are unemployed and wasting time. So, shit, you can go and find somebody with a trade and work with them for free. You haven't been working anyway. At least you're gaining information and quote-unquote experience that you can use to benefit yourself later on in the future. So that's getting prepared. That's doing what you need to do.
Man, that's good. That's good stuff, brother, because young people don't understand that, bro. It's an investment, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm good. And let me tell you something, man. I shared this with my son, and he laughed at me. My son, he's real stingy with his money. I said, listen, I pay child support for my daughter down south. I said, listen, you like your money, right? So let me show you child support. This is what I pay every week. He's like, oh, wait a minute. Oh. Look. So with that being said, I've shared some of my situations.
Yeah.
So now he's very aware of the ramifications of being with the big booty and a smile.
Yeah.
That was a very good lesson. Wow.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I agree with you on that, letting your kids know that you're not perfect. I tell my kids all the time, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no freaking clue. I'm shooting from the hip, so I'm making a lot of this crap up. Y'all need to understand that. You know, because I'll never forget, my son just went to the military and told me one day, Mom, after four kids, you should know what you're doing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. You didn't call it a manual.
I can't read. Thank you. I'm glad you said that.
You did not call it a manual. I don't know what I'm doing. And because I'd rather them know, Mom's got some issues and Mom really don't know, then find out. Then look on the child's face and they find out their parent is not perfect.
Yeah.
Their world
But you know, that's honesty. That's real
down.
Talk. That's real talk. I mean, you know, my parents just say that.
You know, I'm not going to pretend like everything is prim and proper and everything's perfect because I'm not. I'm not that little girly lady. I'm a grown-ass woman with a foul-ass mouth. No surprise to my kids. When they act like they just met me, I go, did you just meet me? What happened in your world that you forgot who your mother was? But they know
that's right, okay,
Mom's not perfect. Mom will do things to you just to prove a point. And everything that you do, you're going to learn something from. And that's what's important to me is that I told them, if I can get you from one day to the next, I'm good.
That's right.
And people get shocked because they'll say, like, when it came time for my kids to go to college, what college is she going to? What college? I don't know. Why? Because it's not my choice. I'm not saying go here, go there, because she has to live that life. He has to be on that campus. They have to make decisions.
That's right.
Since they could talk and get on my nerves, make a decision you can live with, and anything that won't get me to kill you, and we're good.
But you laid that foundation, Sid. You gave them a foundation where they had an option of choice in what to look for. You gave them that foundation already.
They also start to know that their choices have consequences.
Yeah, my son used to run down the hallway and jump in the middle of my bed. And I used to just look at him, and I go, are you really going to do that? And he's like, yeah. I said, so you're making a decision you can live with. Think about that. You know, I'm a little crazy. I'm going to step out and beat the hell out of you one of these days. And he still does it. I've never done anything to him. I wanted to catch him midair and trip him up. But I'm like, why don't you do that? But he makes a decision that he can live with. My mini-me, when he was little, he was doing something. I said, Jordan, if you do that, I'm going to have to beat your ass. And he sat there and he thought about it. He said, Bob, I'm going to have to get a whooping today.
Wow.
I was like, oh, you had an injury to Wilson. Why is he doing this to me? But I gave him a choice.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, you do that, I'm going to whoop you.
Wow. Let me ask the panel a question here. I mean, we're talking about being prepared for life. Let's talk to those listeners as tune into the show, those who just seem to not win for losing. What I mean like that, it just seems that they have streams of bad luck, you know, or just streams of bad things back to back, lost job, spouse left them, the kids is acting like total hell, you know, they're homeless. I mean, how do we provide inspiration? How do they garner the energy, the fortitude, if I'm correct, to try to find hope or anything to get out of their rut? Because, you know, you figure they've been prepared. They dealt with situations, but we all been there. We all been there where it just seems like one day after the other, like, damn, you know, when this is going to stop. How do you get that energy? Because especially being the head of the household, whether you're a mother, whether you're the father, whether you're the husband, whether you're the wife, or whether you just try to survive out here. How do we talk to those people out here that just trying to make it, and they're trying to, you know, keep the kids uplifted. They're trying to be that rock, if I'm saying it correct. I don't know, you know, but let's talk to those people, you know, panel. So what can we do to help them out?
Well, first, I tell everybody, I believe in weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. I tell you, you have to bring your
love
kids.
That.
Life gets to be purity hell, and like you said, everybody goes through it. You have those moments where you're like, I can't get anything right, everything's going wrong. At the same time, I might have to kill a kid just to make it. So, give me the kids. Spend some time by yourself. Think about it. Check yourself in the mirror. Most importantly, have a good cry.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
That's
I was waiting
good.
To hear
that's
that.
Really
thank
good.
You.
Male
thank you.
Or
thank
female,
you. Thank you.
That's
doesn't
good.
Matter.
That's really good.
Have a good cry. You can cry about something, and while you're crying, you will not believe it. You're going to be talking to God because you're not going to be anybody else there. And and you're going to have
that
conversation. You're going to go to bed. You're going to wake up, and things are going to look a whole lot different. You'll be re-energized. You'll get a chance to refocus. You'll be taking sick at some badass kids. I'm happy. Cool. Have a good cry. Get away from it all because everybody gets down. Everybody needs to reach out to somebody, and that brings into the fact that you know people that are struggling, and you know you see them struggling, and although you think, damn it, he was fucking struggling three weeks in a row now, still reach out to them because you don't want to lose that person either. Because
that's right.
Nobody
that's right.
cares. Nobody's there for me, you know. And so, I mean by nature, that's like no freaking joke. They were joking about it then. I was like, y'all not, that ain't no joke. I'm really mean. I'm going to have a nice moment on y'all one of these days. And it's not happening. And there's this girl, and she's like, oh, my God. She drives me crazy. I decided she's certified, but I'm going to sign off for her to get a check. But I check on her, even though she works my nerves, because she is that person that will not show up, and they'll be like, well, where is she? And she'll be dead somewhere. And she'll be saying, nobody cares. Nobody responded to me. So
that's
it's
right.
important.
That's
I
right.
told her the same thing. Sweetheart, how many problems can you have? You're single. You have no kids. You have your own place. Go home, take a bath, drink a glass of wine, cry, and sit down and talk to God about it.
That's it. I love it. I love that. But let's finish the time real quick before we go on to Eddie. I know Eddie got something to go hard on this one. Tom, what is your thought on that, brother?
You know, I know even when I was dealing with my own thing and it seemed like nothing was going right, I just remembered some of the things, like even Dr. King's piece where he says, only when it's dark that can you see the light. You know, sometimes you just need to be able to, you know, just take a moment for yourself, let loose, you know, have that cry, have that conversation with someone where you bare your soul and then you got to pick yourself back up and keep going, because the world's going to keep going whether you're there or not.
That's
whether
right. Good point.
Part
Very
of
good point,
not.
Brother. Very good point. That's you know, it's kind of a tough reality, you said, Tom. But like you said, the world is still going to keep on spinning. Whatever you're doing, the world's going to still keep on going, brother. So very good point, man. Brother Dow.
Yes,
brother
sir.
Dow, what's your chime in on that one? I got to hear you because, you know, we got to save Eddie for the last in this one because Eddie always goes in.
All right,
Let me set it up for Edward L. Fairley to do what he does.
Y'all got issues, man.
It's love, brother.
It truly is. The bottom line is this. We as a group, we as a people have, in our past, we were raised to be a village. We all came together. None of us were better than the sum of the parts that we had. We all communicated. We all dealt with one another. We stood together as men and held down what we needed to hold down.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we've become our own island.
Mm-hmm.
Each individual doing what the individual does. Not for what's in the best of the group, but what's in the best of the individual.
Mm-hmm.
It's become about me. It ain't about the team. It's about me.
Mm-hmm.
We got to get out of this mentality that, you know, that we're so damn special. Because we're not. This is about not only what comes after us, but representing what preceded us. And right now, if we look at the scorecard, we ain't doing too tough as far as representing what has preceded us. And we're not doing too tough with what we're leaving as a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it takes men of distinction, a certain caliber or quality of man who's willing to stand up, not only for him and his. Anybody can stand up for their own.
Mm-hmm.
The worst person in the world will stand up for his and his own.
Mm-hmm.
You show me somebody who's willing to stand up for someone he's never met, he's never had a word with one way or the other, but understands that this brother's plight today could very well be my plight tomorrow, or maybe my son, or maybe my grandson.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Very, very strong words, brother. Very strong words. I'm gonna spin over to Eddie. Eddie, what you got? Give me 3 minutes of Eddie L. Fairley.
when it comes to stuff like this, first of all, I made a pact with myself. I made a pact with myself to never, ever miss out on another vacation. What do I mean by that? There's been so many things, dilemmas or situations or experience that I've gone through that I stressed through the whole thing only to come out on top. And I'm thinking to myself, mm-hmm. Well, damn, if I would have just realized that I made it through so many other things on top, I would have had a 2 week or to a month vacation, just knowing that I was mm-hmm. going to end up on the top of the situation. You feel what I'm saying? Instead, I had a 2 weeks to a month of hell because I stressed over something that if I really thought about or reflected on my past, I knew I was going to come out on top like I did the other time. So
mm-hmm.
I made a pact with myself to never miss out on another vacation. If I lose a job, well, I'm off until I get another switch call, and I literally don't stress, don't trip, and what that does is it allows me an opportunity to think of different things that I could be doing because when you get emotional, you lose your objectivity, and it keeps you from being able to look at or see opportunities that present themselves in the situation. So you got to have a balance. You got to have enough emotion to be able to feel, especially be empathetic to maybe your wife or whomever you're going through with it, to say I understand where you're coming from, but also enough objectivity to not lose your logic in the situation to where you're missing out on opportunities to fix the situation or see where you can fix the situation because you're so caught up in the emotional aspect of it. So I made a pact, like I said, with myself to never miss out on another vacation. There is positivity in everything. I don't care what you're going through or what presents itself. If you take the time to find the good in it, you can find it. What happens is we tend to go through life and go years later and look back and say, oh, that's why I went through that, instead of learning that, okay, I've done that several times, so clearly there's good in it. I can potentially find it now. So I immediately go into trying to figure out, well, what good can come from this? So I'll try to find the positivity in whatever the situation is. And with that, another thing that I do is I, oh my gosh, can't believe I'm sharing this, but I think people need to do it anyway. I keep a book or a frame for every single hardship that I've been through. So if you had a repossession, you need to frame that. If you had a if you went bankruptcy, you need to have a frame or a book for that. Why? So that you can go back when you have your todays that are that you feel are so bad, and you can look through those things and see, you know what, I've been through a bankruptcy, I've been through losing my house, I've been through getting my car repossessed, and yet I made it to today. So if I can make it through all these pages of crap, I had lights turned off, I had this and that and turned off, if I can go through the pages of this and be today, I know I could get through this day, and this is just to be another page to add to the book. So we need to, like you talked about with that brother, you need to have a reminder of where you've been so that you don't lose sight of where you're going and think that where you're at is going to be your final destination. So keep those things as reminders of what you've been through and what you have the strength to make it through so that you can reflect and say, hold on, nah, don't get it twisted. I know I can make it through this because I've been through this, I've been through that, I've been through that. Now, the thing is, you got to know when to look in the rearview mirror and when to look forward. A lot of people get sucked in that current situation or in their past, and that's what keeps them there. They never move. But when you're going through or headed to your future, you need to look forward. But once you hit a bump in the road, you need to look back and remember the other bumps that you've gotten over. And that's pretty much it.
Great, great stuff. Listen, I'm just going to say this because we're about to wrap this up. Personally, I'm going to have to go with Sig on this one. I ain't saying I'm a punk because I'm not. I'm not. That's how you twist it when I say this. I found myself coming with the best decisions or the best actions after I cried.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't take away from who I am. I'll lift my weights and all this stuff. I'm getting all, you know, it's not that I lift weights, it's just my male thing. It's that I'm trying to channel my anger. Because us as black men, I'm going to say me personally, I don't like to be sad. It makes me angry. But when I cry and I get it out, I've released something. Because if I hold it in, that's the worst scenario for everybody. So, and I mean that seriously. It's that I cry, I talk to God, I ask God for his guidance, and I come to... It's for some reason when I cry, I come to some certain peace and I ask God for his guidance. It's not so much a question because I don't need to say the question to him. He already knows the questions in my mind and my heart. He already says, listen, it's okay to cry. Let the pain out. I'm going to give you your peace and your answer. And I lay down. I wake up the next morning and I feel renewed. For whatever reason it is, I feel renewed. But that's my thoughts on it. I cry. I get it out. And I keep it moving. That doesn't take away from me as a man. But I know that it comes to that point that sometimes the world and the situations can be a little overwhelming. I have to understand it and deal with it and know that the world still keeps spinning, and I have to just deal with it. So with that being said, you know, it's been a great show, everybody. I just need a closing remarks from everybody, maybe a minute from each person. Was, of course, ladies first. We're going to send it to Sig, closing remarks, Tom, Dowd, and, of course, Eddie. You need closing remarks?
I just want to say it was a great show. Really enjoyed it. And always have been humbled. I've learned a lot. I love it when you guys come together and man up. And
thank you.
Now, real men cry.
That's right.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. I'll be the first to say it. I ain't no punk. Brother Tom, closing remarks?
Yo, I always love being able to talk with you guys and share, you know, stories and hear what you all, you know, just learn from you, all of you. So I'm just glad I could be here.
Oh, man, wow. We love you too, man. Thank you, brother. Oh, listen, by the way, Tom,
for
disclaimer, congratulations. Congratulations to Tom, the whole show. No, let's the time. Let's not
run the clear too.
Yeah, exactly, brother. Brother Daryl. What you got, man?
Man, actually, great show, everybody. Next week, the United Way for the month of February in New Jersey, we are having Celebrity Read. That's where men, women go into elementary schools and read to younger kids. Brothers, I am imploring you, I am asking you to go check out the United Way's website, United Way of Essex County in West Hudson, and sign up today to read to a young man, read to a young woman, show them that, you know, we care, that we're available, we're accessible, and that we're here. Sometimes what we need is an example, and sometimes you never know who's watching us. So if you can, invest the time. Great show, everybody. Can't wait till next week. God bless, and I'll see everybody next week. That's it for me.
Oh, quick disclaimer, make sure you know how to read. Don't be talking to the kids. They trying to correct your damn sentence when you trying to talk to them. So make sure you know how to read, damn it. You know, kids like, he illiterate. Get him out the classroom.
Show.
Go listen, anyway. I'm sorry, Eddie.
Should have
right. Y'all ain't right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
From what I heard, has been a great show. I'm glad I ended up making it at the end. To piggyback on what a lot of you all have already said, and just elaborate on it. But as I stated with a lot of my young guys that I mentor, to not cry is to delay the healing process. You harboring all that feeling, all your feelings and stuff, and thinking that you're strong or you're not a man or whatever, if you cry or whatever, all you're doing is delaying the healing process of whatever it is that you're going through. Crying is cleansing, and all it does is cleanse all that dirt and that you're going through off so that you can be new and whole and work on what it is that you're trying to work on. So that's a must. I figured that I wouldn't say anything because it was already stated by Sig, but it seems to be something that that needs to be stated by you making your statement and Sig reiterating it. And I just want to make sure that people know and understand that crying is, for one, I'm a water baby. I'm a happy crier. I don't cry when I'm sad. I don't really cry when I'm angry. I am a happy crier. If you show me love or unconditional love, which is such a rarity for me to see, because I've never seen it, I've only done it. That just touches me in a manner that I happy tears. But it's been a great show, like I said, for what I've heard, and I hope that people were able to take something from it. I admire each and every person that's on the panel. I admire each and every person that's on this panel, and I pray that we all continue to grow, including the listeners and just being better people. And as I stated before, this is my year of excellence, and I hope that you all will join this journey of excellence with me, because excellence is not a destination. It's definitely a journey.
Edward L.
Family,
ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute. I got a question for Eddie.
You're so sensitive. I love you.
Eddie.
Yes,
because you're a happy crier. Is that why I had to stop sending the gifts?
Is that what?
Oh, damn.
Why I had to stop sending the gifts to my baby?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh,
and you know this. Every time I open up, I cry.
Listen, we're talking behind the scenes. Listen, hold up, you guys. You know, we don't get us all sensitive right now on Hallmark Momish. We got my man online real quick. He want to chime in real quick. You know, he always want to tune in. I want to give a special shout out to the host of the Game Strong program show on Shadow Wars Radio, Trey. Brother Trey, what's going on, brother? Thanks for calling in, man. What's up?
Hey, what's really good with everybody? How's everybody doing tonight?
Listen, man, Listen, hold on. Before you go to say another damn word, before you say another damn word,
wait a minute, brother Bass.
Wait a minute. Stop talking so damn sexy to us, man. We grown men. It's a man of the show. You better throw some damn tremble in your voice.
No.
Man, you sound too damn sexy, man. Trey, I love you, man. I love you, man. You know you're my man, man. I love you, man. But damn it, you better throw some tremble in your voice.
You are not allowed to talk directly into the phone from here on out, sir.
Gentlemen.
Don't be doing that to my ear. No, you speak on speakerphone, damn it.
That is not going to take sexy swag from us. It's a man up show, baby.
You are not allowed to speak directly into the phone on the man up talk show, sir.
Edward, hush. That's
we love you, man. What's up, baby?
I do what I should do.
Trey. What's going on, brother? How are you feeling, man?
Everything is going all right. Everybody, you know, definitely listening to the show, enjoying the topic. It's good to have, you know, a bunch of brothers on the board speaking positive, trying to help out the community. I definitely applaud all your brothers for that. Keep doing your thing for real.
Man, get that man some helium so he can talk like us.
Edward,
leave him alone. I mean, we got to pay a couple bills. Yeah, listen, you can check out Trey every Monday holding it down with the Game Strong program, kicking at 8 o'clock, and he's got a surprise for everybody this upcoming Monday. He officially has put a stamp on it.
No. Don't ruin the surprise.
Okay.
Don't ruin the surprise. But everybody, tune in Monday night, 8 o'clock.
Can you plug his own show? Let him plug his own show. I want to hear.
No talking directly into the phone. Listen, Mr. Sexy, start talking.
Word. Oh, definitely. Thank you for everybody plugging in, but 8 o'clock, Mondays, check me out. Got a surprise for the show. Great show, positive, focusing on the youth and the people that's trying to help out the youth nationwide. Definitely you can chime in, give your input, and I won't ruin the surprise right now, but Monday nights is going to be a whole lot better.
All right. That's what's up.
Hey, man, we appreciate you as an added person to the family, man. Seriously, I've heard a lot about you. Know Sig and I talk, and she has great things to say about you, man. So I appreciate you just for her appreciating you. And keep doing what you're doing, man.
And she appreciates the hell out of you.
Listen, man.
Thank you.
Listen, we got to pay some. But anyway, listen. All right, listen. Tune in Tuesday. You know what? Stop, Sig. Tune in this Tuesday also to the Every Woman Talk Show. The ladies have, I believe they call it, what's the topic real quick, Darryl? For the ladies,
Sisters of
they
Distinction.
Have a topic coming up. Sisters of Distinction. They will have Dr. Sandra Lewis, Professor of African American Studies at Oxford State University, will be chiming the show. So you want to tune in for that. A very strong woman, strong women doing strong things. So we're very proud of our ladies, and I'm calling in. I'm going to act up. I'm going to ask a bunch of questions, so we're going to have a great time. But without that being said, listen, it's been a great show, everybody. We went hard. Sorry our DJs couldn't get in, but you know what? Sometimes when the topic is strong, we got to go in on it. I enjoyed it myself. I appreciate and I love everybody. And to all our listeners, we appreciate you, of course, that tune in and check us out. This is life and what we do, the Man Up Talk Show. So once again, thank you, Tom, Dow, Eddie, and Trey. You know, thank everybody for tuning in. Love y'all. We out. Say good night.
Love y'all, man. Peace.
Life, real life, a thing that we have been denied for far too long. Good morning, my neighbors.
Hey, fuck you.
Yes, yes. Fuck you too!
Playback!